Welcome to our service and a special welcome to all visitors we have worshipping with us this morning. Following the service, tea and coffee will be served in the main hall, and we'd be delighted if you would join us. You know, there you'll find our tradecraft stall. Intimations are contained within the order of service. I would draw your attention only to one of them, and it's to do with the Christmas Tree Festival. If you would like to be a volunteer on duty at the Christmas Tree Festival, can you please add your name to the lists which are in the main hall? Any queries? The person to contact is Anne Middleton. There's also a list for anyone who would like to provide music during the Christmas Tree Festival. The other thing is that magazines are in trays for elders to collect. It's a bit of a holiday morning this morning. Both the minister and organist are on holiday. I'm very pleased to welcome Hazel Mayer at the organ and Jean Montgomery, who is going to lead us in worship. Jean, welcome to Coxcack.
Thank you, Graham. And good morning, everyone. I'm back again. It's good to share in worship with you this morning, and I trust that we may find together that the Lord is with us. Why have we come to worship? Because God is worthy of all praise. What do we bring to worship? Our brokenness and our need, our gratitude and our willingness to be changed by God's word. Let us worship God and let us sing to his praise and glory in the hymn number 448, "The Lord, the light of your love is shining."
Thank you.
Good morning. I have one, two, three. Do I have any more littler people? No? You're going to come and help, are you? You're going to come and help. But I can ask everybody. Hands up. Who had breakfast this morning? Right, good. Hands up who didn't have breakfast this morning. Ah, you see? Some people don't have breakfast. Ah, and we all know that you're supposed to have breakfast. Why are you supposed to have breakfast? Why are you supposed to have breakfast? Do you know? Do you know why? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Because you're hungry. Yeah, well, actually, I'm not a breakfast person. I need to make myself have breakfast because I'm not really hungry first thing in the morning. So I understand if people don't have breakfast. There's a lovely story I have to tell you. When I was maybe about 11 or 12, and we were in a guest house somewhere up in the north of Scotland, and the landlady said, "And what would everybody like for breakfast in the morning?" And so my sister and my mum and dad said what they would like, eggs or bacon or whatever. And I said, "I don't want anything, thank you." And the woman said, "But you have to have something, dear." And I said, "Well, no, I don't want anything. I'll just have a piece of toast or something." And she said, "But you have to have something because your dad's paying for it." At which point my beloved dad stepped in and said, "No, it's all right. She doesn't have to have anything." Breakfast is supposed to be because we haven't eaten all night. And so our bodies actually need something. So we do have to try and have something to eat. Because we have something to eat later in the day, will you? Will you have something to eat later? Not just breakfast. What do you have? You have breakfast, lunch and dinner. And who has snacks as well? I think we all have snacks as well, yeah. Bodies need food. Bodies need food. Can you tell me what candles need? Well, first they need a source of light. So we'll light all the ones that aren't lit. And then you tell me what else candles need. You tell me what else candles need. Who's going to tell me what else candles need? Sorry? Distinctly? Well, they need the wax that they're made of. What else do they need to keep burning? They need air, oxygen. Because what happens? If I say, no air, it goes out. Look, let's try that again. I've given it the light, but then look. Takes a little while, but because there's no more oxygen in there, the light goes out. And today, I'm talking about us, people like us, who are a bit like candles. Because we are here, God has provided his love, his mercy, his grace, and has given us the source of light. And like candles, we can take that light and it burns in us. Problem is, if we starve that light, if we starve the light that God has lit in us by ignoring him, by forgetting about him, by not doing as he would like us to do. If we start saying, no, God, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. We're just like that candle that goes out because it's starved of the love and the Spirit of God which he has set in us. And when I was growing up, and I was probably about over your ages, I learnt a little chorus that talks about how God gives us the light and the love and the gospel to share with other people. And it's called This Little Light of Mine, and you've got a little sheet in your order of service, which means that we can sing it all together. We sing the chorus, and then there's a verse, and then we sing the chorus again. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Now let us pray. Creator God, we glimpse your beauty in setting sun, mountaintop, eagle's wing. We sense your power in thunder crash, lightning flash, and ocean's roar. Creator God, we praise you. Precious Jesus, we see your love stretched out upon a cruel cross. We stand in awe of your sacrifice. Pure love poured out for humankind. Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we see your power and lives transformed, hearts on fire. We listen for your still, small voice, comforting, guiding, calling. Holy Spirit, we praise you. From the moment we awake to face the day ahead, you are with us. Through good times and bad, your presence enough for our needs. Every day we will praise you. Through the hours of the day, in our travels and work, you are with us. In decisions we must make, your wisdom enough for our needs. Every day we will praise you. As we lay down to rest at the end of the day, you are with us. As we lay our fears at your feet, your peace enough for our needs. Every day we will praise you. Lord God, your love for humankind, present in the beginning of all things, extends throughout history and touches even our lives. Your love sees failings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. Your love sees sin and still loves the sinner. Forgive us when we fail to live lives that reflect your love. Forgive us the many times when we take for granted all that you have done for us. Transform us through your Spirit and empower us to serve you this day and all days. This we ask through Jesus Christ, who taught us when praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I didn't actually pick up who was doing our reading this morning. Oh, it's Colin.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 to 3 and verse 19. You'll find this on pages 723 to 724 of the Pew Bibles. It says, Listen for the word of God. The future glory of Jerusalem. Arise, Jerusalem, and shine like the sun. The glory of the Lord is shining on you. Other nations will be covered by darkness, but on you the light of the Lord will shine. The brightness of his presence will be with you. Nations will be drawn to your light, and kings to the dawning of your new day. Then reading from verse 19, No longer will the sun be your light by day, or the moon be your light by night. I, the Lord, will be your eternal light. The light of my glory will shine on you. Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Salt and light. You are like salt for the whole human race. But if salt loses its saltiness, there is no way to make it salty again. It has become worthless, so it is thrown out and people trample on it. You are like light for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on the lampstand, where it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before people, so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise forever. Amen.
Thank you, Colin. We sing then number 604, Holy Wisdom, Lamp of Learning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of his Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder how many of us has a pack of candles stuck at the back of a cupboard? Kept as a backup, should there be a power cut. Sensible precaution. For we all know how very difficult it is to function in the dark. But the reality is that because of the increased reliability of the national grid, there is seldom any reason to use these candles, and they lie hidden, failing to fulfill their purpose. Then there are some of you who may not have a supply of emergency candles, but instead have candles on view. These are candles of all shapes and sizes. which often bring a subtle scent to the room. But there they stand, never bringing either light or the richness of their perfume into the room, failing to fulfill the purpose for which they were made. But of course, some folks have a pack of candles in the back of the cupboard for emergencies, candles on display, and use these candles to both brighten and fragrance their environment. These people have noticed that candles are for burning. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And that means that Jesus sees in each one of us the potential to bring light into a dark world. His only worry is that once our light has been lit, we put it under a bowl or pop the lid on the jar. Or we put it back in a cupboard and leave it to gather dust on the hearth or the mantelpiece. And I believe we are forced to marvel at how perceptive Jesus is of the human condition. For so many of us, yes, me included, begin the Christian race with great gusto. But then other influences start to pollute the atmosphere, so that the light that has been kindled is starved of the vital oxygen it needs to keep the flame alive. Friends, these influences are so prevalent that we scarcely notice them. There are the social pressures. For from the early stages of our Christian development, our society wants to preserve a general Christian morality without any foundation in the Christ from whom that morality flows. Just in the passing, take an example. In Aberdeen, we have a Christmas tree, but we're not allowed to call this festival Christmas. We have to say it's the winter festival. We have a Christmas tree, but actually, in Aberdeen, we are celebrating a winter festival. A society which wants to preserve a general Christian morality without any foundation in the Christ from whom that morality flows. Then there is the pervasive view that God is for emergencies, like the candles in the back of the cupboard. And that in the normal course of life, there's really no need for his presence or his influence. There are the peer pressures, where it is extremely difficult for the child or teenager to admit to any involvement in the Christian community. There is work, looking for work, and the discovery that in retirement we can be as busy as ever, that saps our resolve to put God at the centre of our living. There is the natural desire to fill life with activities which we enjoy. Only we find that these sometimes crowd out time for God. And then there is the mantra of the 21st century that organized Christianity does not meet the felt needs of individuals. Yet Jesus repeats, "You are the light of the world," urging us to realize that every one of us who has made profession of faith and at one time in our lives sought to be part of our Christian community, that every one of us who has ever felt the slightest impulse to respond to God in our lives, indeed, wherever and whenever our lives have been joined to Christ, God lights a flame. The question is whether we hide it away and allow the atmosphere of the world to snuff it out, thus failing to fulfill our calling, or whether we nurture that flame, letting it consume us and provide light for the world around. Think about it. A little boy was sitting in church with his mother, and as he looked around at the beauty of the stained glass, curiosity finally got the better of him, and he asked, "Who are all those people?" To which his mother responded, "They are saints." And then, sensing that this was a teaching moment, she asked, "Do you know what saints are?" The little boy thought for a moment and then responded, "They are people the light shines through." Take that image with you as you travel with Christ through the days to come, and you and I will be well on the way to fulfilling our calling to be the light of the world. May all glory be to the Father and to the Son and to his Holy Spirit. Amen. The hymn is number 545, "Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness." We worship God now with our offering. And now, let us pray. Lord, we bring these gifts as mere token that we acknowledge that you provide all that we need. Bless our offerings and multiply them to your glory. Lord God, we thank you for all your goodness to us. Thank you for our homes, for the love of our families, and for the friends who enrich our lives. Thank you for nourishment of body and soul, for drinking water and for living water. Thank you for the life of Jesus, showing us how human life is to be lived in obedience to your will. Thank you for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, reminding us that you love us to death. And Lord, we thank you for the light you have given us to shine in the lives of those around us. Lord, may we neither take your generous love for granted nor abuse it. Father, hear our prayer for those who do not enjoy the richness of life and who need your light to shine on their way. for those who do not know where their next meal is coming from, for those who do not have clean water to drink, for those who are lonely and afraid, for those who are the victims of drug culture and see no way out, for those in school and college who find peer pressures overwhelming, for those in the workplace, on factory floor, in office and in boardroom, who find their work tedious or highly stressful, for those who are struggling with illness, bereavement, redundancy, for those caught up in the current events across our troubled world. And Lord, we pray for those who have responsibility for negotiating the United Kingdom's withdrawal from the European Union. Lord, whatever our feelings about whether this is the right way to go or the wrong way to go, whatever our feelings about how this is being handled by our government representatives and by those who represent the European Parliament, we pray for wisdom, for sensitivity, and for cordiality at this time. Lord, we pray for our Queen and all members of her household, that they may be encouraged in the roles that they undertake on our behalf. Mighty God, as we listen to the news, look around, hear about people's problems, there would be much room for despair were it not for the light you shine in our darkness, showing that you are with us in suffering and that your love will not fail us, neither those who suffer nor those who are called in your name to incarnate that love in practical help. Lord, graciously hear us as we offer these prayers and the prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We close our worship with hymn number 644, which we will sing to the 20th century hymn tune, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. May the light of God's love dwell in us, shine through us, and light the world in which we move. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.